B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Hi.
How are you?
Really good.
Yeah? Good? So? Let the marathon begin.
Yeah, I'm going to pace myself today.
Yeah, pace yourself. Compared to the other days.
That's exactly what I said on the way. Really? I was talking to somebody on the phone. I'm like, you got to pace yourself.
I said, I got to go. Quick discussions. I got to get some of that Bigelow tea. That's what makes Bob's. That's why Bob's voice sounds so great. He drinks Bigelow tea before every big game.
I'll be on, get used to me. I'll be on for 14 to the next 28 hours here on 98.5,
nice.
The Sports Hub. So just get used to it. Beetle is here to stay. Let's start with the Patriots. Gil Brandt, he's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Gil Brandt, Hall of Famer. A guy that Bill Belichick respects quite a bit.
He's fooled me.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Bill's spoken about Gil Brandt before.
I told you that story. We used to have Gil Brandt on. Like, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, my favorite buddy. How you doing, Scott? You know, this and that. And then I'm driving around and listening to NFL somewhere on radio on Sirius. And
yeah.
Gil goes on with somebody else. Hey, Jimmy, my best friend. How you doing, buddy? It's the same intro. I'm like, that son of a bitch. He fooled me. I thought
I'm not his best friend.
It's the same intro. He goes on. Everybody's shown it's the same. Good for him.
Gil Brandt has this.
What's that?
He says, the New England Patriots on paper are fit for an A.J. Green trade. On paper. It's his opinion. He says the fit makes more sense than any other scenario. The Pats are undefeated, but they've also faced just one top 10 defense thus far.
Yeah.
And in that matchup with the Bills, Tom Brady posted his lowest passer rating in a game, 45.9, since week 9 of the 2006 season. So he says on paper, AJ Green makes sense for the Patriots. Now, I don't know that Gil Brandt is writing this with any sort of background or talking to people in the league about the possibility of A.J. Green actually getting moved.
I doubt it. I think he's doing homework, and Gil's pretty aware of all the teams, even with his age. Like, he does his homework.
Maybe. I'm just saying I don't know this. I can't say that he's writing that knowing that.
Well, even unknowingly, mentioning 2006 is still kind of a dagger to Patriots fans with that receiving group.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
this is worse since 2006. Remember that season?
Remember that Rishay Caldwell?
We said that all preseason, prior to them having the best at the end of preseason, right when everybody came back, and they acquired AB, and then Gordon was reinstated, and Edelman was healthy. All of a sudden, you went from the worst to what? One of the top. It's kind of like feels like you're back now. You know.
So he writes that on paper they make sense. That's leaving aside what others have said, including Burt Breer, telling us that Cincinnati, hard to do deals with Cincinnati. They're reluctant to make trades. And A.J. Green is on record telling The Athletic he would like to remain in Cincinnati and leave a legacy in Cincinnati the same way that Larry Fitzgerald will leave a legacy in Arizona.
Really want to leave a legacy?
I don't know why the hell you'd want to do that.
Do you look at A.J. Green the same way you look at Larry Fitzgerald?
You know what I would tell A.J. Green? That's not a legacy.
No.
That's not a legacy worth having.
See, I don't want that type of guy.
Cincinnati.
You know what I mean?
What the hell?
It tells me like the guy doesn't want to win.
Yeah. Or the guy who just wants to keep going through the motions there in Cincinnati and collecting his checks.
At least in Arizona, you're trying. You're paying for quarterbacks. You overspent for Stafford. You drafted Kyler Murray. You're trying to do it with a new coach. Cincinnati, you're just stagnant. That tells me he wants to be stagnant for the remainder of his career. And I'm scared of that guy because I've seen him. He reminds me a little bit of Demaryius Thomas. You could take him out of some games. And I think he gets lazy in his route running. And you know how much this offense is predicated on really good route running, right? High-tech stuff. Brady wants you to be at a certain place at a certain time. The Ocho Cinco experiment scares the hell out of me with A.J. Green because I could see a lot of comparisons between those two. Ocho was damn good. Look at his numbers before he came here. All right. We thought it was going to take off. I don't know.
So again,
I think it's Sanders or Diggs.
Gil Brandt, again, Hall of Famer.
I know it makes sense on paper.
Architect of multiple Cowboys Super Bowl winning teams. Gil Brandt saying that Tom Brady, lowest passer rating in that game against the Bills. A.J. Green to the Patriots makes sense. And this is the worst Tom Brady had been since 2006 in that game against the Bills. 2006, when the Patriots had arguably their worst year and worst set of weapons for Tom Brady. I think we all point to 2006 for Brady as, ooh, that was the roughest year, right?
Yeah.
And drawing a comparison to 2006 in the first paragraph of talking about the Patriots, that seems a little strong, doesn't it? Is this 2006?
No, you're much better.
Thank you.
You're much better than
Come on, this is not 2006 for the Patriots. That's not where we're at.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is look at it.
And I don't think Gil Brandt's the first to sort of whisper that, by the way. So I'm not putting this all on him.
Yeah. Your team's much better than it was. I mean, you had, who the hell was the linebacker running around?
Although they could have had Ben Watson back. They could have had him again.
Monty Beisel.
No, it was 58, Jim.
Eric Alexander.
Was it Pierre Woods?
Pierre Woods,
Eric Alexander running around chasing, like dogs chasing cars, those tight ends that killed you in that second.
I mean, we're not quite Doug Gabriel here, but we're trying. So Gil Brandt has that to start. He also has this. I keep looking at the Patriots roster and wondering how they continue to win with the lack of proven receiving threats outside of veteran Julian Edelman, seeming like it should be a glaring weakness. I keep looking at the Patriots and wondering how they continue to win. Wow. Kyle Van Noy, listen up. I think Gil Brandt and Belichick are on good terms, right? I think they're friendly. They're
assume so.
Belichick was loving the fact that he got into the Hall of Fame, was pushing for him to get into the Hall of Fame.
Bingo. Perfect. Hey, Kyle Van Noy, here's another Belichick guy that you can speak up and say is a guy disrespecting you right here. Here's another Belichick guy you can have a dust up with. Because this guy is straight up disrespecting the Patriots defense that has allowed two touchdowns through five games. How the Patriots continue to win? Like, forgetting the fact that they've, outside of that Bills game, they've outscored everybody by a ton. He must be missing all the points they've scored. But in addition to that, have you seen their defense? What do you mean how they continue to win games? It's as if the Patriots defense doesn't exist in that comment. How they win games. Hello?
It's as if they've been facing 5-0 teams all year, too.
Hello?
I don't know how they could have lined up and won that game against Washington the other day with their receiver depth.
I mean, they really could have had the 2006 receivers against Washington, and they would have won the game just fine.
They could have had less.
They could have brought back Rishe Caldwell and Doug Gabriel now in their current condition, and they could have won that game against Washington. Right now, the actual guys themselves could have come back, put a uniform back
on. Sean Morey. Bring Sean Morey back, too.
And Brady could have won the game.
Yeah.
They could have figured it out.
Right.
They could have won that game. That, to me, is some disrespect for the defense. Kyle Van Noy, listen up. There you go. That is some disrespect. How do the Patriots keep winning games with this lack of receivers? He says Green could follow in the footsteps of former Bengal-turned-Patriot Corey Dillon, who won a Super Bowl with Brady and company after a swap with Cincinnati in exchange for a second-round pick in 2004. He says, of course, on the flip side of that would be what happened with the all-time leading Bengals receiver Chad Johnson, who produced 276 yards in 15 games after being sent to New England for a fifth-rounder in 2011. Doesn't that seem more relevant than what Corey Dillon did?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have concerns about A.J. Green being able to learn the offense?
Yeah, at this point, yeah. Yeah.
Anyone who's been sort of ingrained in that system for that long, being able to transition to this system.
Sure.
Especially when you've got comments from a guy who would rather just sit in Cincinnati and be there and leave a legacy in Cincinnati. Who the hell wants a legacy in Cincinnati?
That scares me.
That's not a legacy.
No.
Cincinnati blows. That place is putrid.
Yeah.
That team is putrid. Everything about that place sucks.
The ownership group doesn't care about that.
Oh, stinks. Right. The team stinks. Their history stinks.
They kept Marvin
Lewis.
That's
what you want?
They kept him one of the most highest tenured coaches in the league.
Losers mentality there.
Years. Yep. No, we're going to keep it rolling.
I don't think they should want A.J. Green.
I'm with you on that. I don't want A.J. Green. I never did. I would say I would feel more strongly about not wanting him, more so than not wanting Demaryius Thomas, and that's saying something. There's something about that player that scares me. I think you take him out of games. And I think the environment he has in played, he has played in there, I don't know if I'd trust him. Give me a guy like Josh Gordon. It's worked to get to the point that he's at now. And it ain't perfect with him. You know, it looks like he's working through something. But I'll go to battle with that guy. That's a hell of a story.
Can I ask the same question I've been asking for every one of these guys?
What? Yeah.
Would Tom Brady want A.J. Green?
How quick can he pick it up?
Doesn't he fit into the category of the, I can't do it for them, I can only do my job? What's worse, a rookie or A.J. Green?
Do you want to bring a guy that, is he going to open up his house to A.J. Green? Is he going to give all of his mental fortitude and all the stuff where he's emptied that tank, where he's now going to worry about a veteran instead of worrying about young guys, right? That would be my concern.
Young guys.
See, I think Tom Brady's a lot smarter than that. And I hate to bring the guy up, but Antonio Brown, when he's right, is the best receiver in the National Football League. That's why he was invested in that guy.
And this was the part of the schedule you could do it against, right?
The
schedule we just went through was the part of the schedule you could do that against. Now going forward, it's kind of tough.
I don't want to bring him in here before the bye and then all of a sudden throw a guy out there. You really don't, you know, maybe 65% trust against some pretty good competition. The timing doesn't add up.
Would it be harder for a tight end to pick up this offense or a receiver coming
receiver.
In?
Receiver.
So are they better off going after a tight end?
A good one? Yeah.
Maybe at this point in the schedule?
I want Gil Brandt to go and do the numbers on Tyler Eifert.
Well, he's not doing that right now.
Gil
Brandt saying you can't believe the Patriots are winning games given how thin they are at receiver.
He just can't believe it. Come on, Gil.
And he's a smart guy. Yeah. Hall of Famer. Longtime NFL executive friend of Bill Belichick.
Van Noy's going to be so pissed.
He can't believe it.
Van Noy's going to be
Listen
pissed.
Up, Kyle Van Noy. Listen
KVN.
Up.
Let's go, KVN.
Listen up. Gil Brandt can't understand how the Patriots are winning games. He just can't understand it. He must think they're going to start getting smoked at some point because they don't have the weapons.
By who?
They just don't have it because it's like 2006 all over again with Tom Brady.
You watch his conference.
I'm surprised.
Who's going to smoke them?
That's what Gil Brandt's saying about the Patriots. The Giants and Patriots meet tonight on Thursday Night Football. We're going to get into this matchup coming up next, including a look back at some of the, I guess, memorable matchups that they've had over the years. No, I'm not talking Super Bowls. I'm talking just overall, regular season, everything.
There's been some good ones.
We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Snap is on the money. Rand gets the putt away. Meggett is settling under it at his 40. Heads left for the 45 up the middle. 45, 50. 45, outside 40. 35, 30. Kicked it all the way. He's at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, David Meggett. Touchdown, David Meggett. On a punt return of 60 yards. His first touchdown return in 2 years for the Patriots. And they're right back in it with 11 minutes to go in the game.
Beautiful, beautiful. Dave Meggett.
It's got a good build.
Dan Shaughnessy will join us at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Patriots and Giants tonight on Thursday Night Football at Gillette Stadium. There have been some memorable games in the regular season and, of course, Super Bowls as well. We'll get to those. That was December 1996.
Make D.
Punt return touchdown for David Meggett.
Okay, just to bring some levity to my opinions on Antonio Brown, which I tried to tell you, what, 4 weeks ago. You play with a lot of a-holes in the league, but you learned about David Maggett was one of my favorite players I played with. Read up on David Maggett. He's not a good person.
His name came up in training camp. We were talking to Max Lane.
Yeah.
And then we Googled him.
Yeah.
And found out he's in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the time, when you're in a locker room with the person, he's great, great teammate. Great teammate doesn't mean he's a great person. That's all. Just keep that. Yeah. And not that AB's coming back. He will not be back.
This was from the Boston Globe the next day. Nick Cafardo.
There were some good plays in that game.
Nick Cafardo wrote this the next day in the Boston Globe. The real Giants were David Maggett, 5 feet, 7 inches, 195 pounds. Troy Brown, 5'9", 190. And Adam Vinatieri, 6 feet, 200 pounds.
Heroes.
If not for those little playmakers with giant hearts, the Patriots would not be sitting at home today, having ended their regular season yesterday with an 11-5 record, a first-round playoff bye, and 2 weeks to prepare for a home playoff game at Foxborough Stadium. Those three, plus bigger bodies such as Drew Bledsoe, Ben Coates, Terry Glenn,
Coates,
and a defense that shut out New York in the second half, made for a 23-22 regular season finale victory over the Giants on the day Bill Parcells returned to the Meadowlands and opposing coach Dan Reeves probably said goodbye.
I'll never forget Parcells on the sideline, and he was so freaking...
Damn, what an intro to a story. Yeah. What a story. What a writer. Story. Nick Cafardo.
Good story.
Awesome.
But I remember the paranoia Parcells had because he knew that stadium inside and out, and he kept looking down like underneath the goalposts, and he's looking at them son of a bitches. They open that garage door down there. He knew exactly how far to open a garage door on both ends to where you could get this sort of a draft when another team was kicking. Little things like that. And he's like, but the damn door's open. Come here, Al. How far are we here for a field goal?
Well,
and he's looking. He knew that stadium inside out, every single inch of it.
Cafardo wrote, the turning point is open to debate. Was it Meggett's 60-yard punt return to make it 22-17?
Oh, yeah.
Or Brown's 13-yard reception on his back on 3rd and 13 to the New York 29 with time running out.
That was it.
No, that was more of a miracle. No, we're not
That's the greatest individual play I've seen in person.
I agree with that. Ray Crittenden also had one of those
Crittenden
catches, too. Crittenden had a layout. But you would never even be in that spot to where you could even attempt that pass if it wasn't for Megan's return, because we were getting our you-know-whats kicked in.
He was laying on his back and caught it as the ball was going backwards.
The kick return. I was there on the sideline. It gave us
I was there in the stands.
Good for you, little chubby boy, with your little liquor stuffed in your in your jacket.
All right now.
No, but from a momentum swing, that kick return livened us up in that second half. That was it.
Well,
we're going to win.
Nick writes, the clincher was easy. That was 4th and 7, a 13-yard touchdown pass from Bledsoe to Ben Coates with 1:23 remaining.
Meggett is the lone setback, offset left, slots to both sides of the field. 4th down at the Giant 13. Bledsoe is back to throw. Looks, fires. Coates has it at the 1-yard line. Trying to drive it down, and he is in the end zone. Touchdown, Ben Coates. Drew Bledsoe rifles a 13-yard touchdown pass to Ben Coates. And with 1:23 to go, the Patriots take the lead. Coates caught it at the 1, would not go down, and drove it into the end zone.
You hear Capello high-fiving in the booth.
What was that, Santos and Capello there? Yeah. Like high-fiving in the back of the booth?
Touchdown, Ben Coates! Drew Bledsoe rifles!
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Santos.
Yeah. Stick it in. Was he on away? No, that was an away game. He wasn't there. But, wow. Hey, hear the crowd, though? Like, that was the beginning of fan base coming back, man.
You're welcome, Zoe.
That crowd traveled. Yes, that's a good crowd because all the Giants people were there. New England people were there. Fights in the stands. That was good old Meadowlands right there. Man.
Patriots fans were feeling real good at that point, too. That was the first run. The 94 was good.
Yeah.
But that 96 season, like, you could feel that they were a good team.
Yeah, like Gil saying, you're jockeying for a home playoff game there. That's big. That's big. Mm.
It's good. Memorable game.
I'll go with the kick return.
Down 22-0.
Yeah. Memorable game. Very memorable. Does tonight have a shot to be memorable in any way, shape, or form?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because you have stupid uniforms tonight.
The weather could make it memorable.
The weather, to me, could be some sort of way of making it memorable.
40-mile-an-hour wind and driving rain,
yes.
Maybe?
No, but because I think...
You could see something
that.
Memorable because of the rain.
What was the Kimbrell-Tompkins game? Was that a Thursday or a Sunday nighter? That was Sunday.
Sunday.
Night.
Late
yeah.
Sunday. It was like a 4 o'clock
okay, so
start on a Sunday.
See, I'll just say, shorten week, shorten game plan. I think they're going to tighten things up tonight, especially with the wind, with the weather. Dorsett's out. You know, you have less weapons. As our weapons discussion took place yesterday. They don't have any weapons. They really don't. I was told Dorsett could go if it was a playoff game. So I think it's more of, hey, if we're backs against the wall, Dorsett's playing tonight. So you don't put him out there.
Yeah, if it's not the New York Giants and it's not raining.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right,
we could maybe get him out there.
I think tonight's a get-there game. I really do. I'm excited to see the Giants uniforms. They're going with the old ones, the white with the Giants on the
Are
side.
Are we sure about that? Definitely?
I'm pretty sure. I'll know as soon as I get there.
Well, yeah, well, a lot of people will know once
they
get there.
I'm going to go right in the Giants locker room.
Buses were causing all sorts of traffic in Providence yesterday. The police escort right through.
Oh, are you okay down there in Providence? Happy to have the money injected into their economy down there? Yeah.
What?
Jim's upset about the buses stopping traffic down there.
All right, that was 1996. The next time I think there was a memorable Patriots matchup with the Giants was probably 2007 in the regular season. Right?
Regular season, week 17. Yeah.
Week 17.
Hey, we had a good one a couple years ago when the Patriots were 10-0 and Gostkowski hit that game winner.
December 29th, the Patriots, well, they had to fight hard in that one because the Giants gave the Patriots everything they could handle in that game. And Tom Brady hit Randy Moss for a big touchdown, and it was the 50th touchdown for Brady, the 23rd for Moss. They broke the record, and, well, they got their undefeated regular season.
Third and 10, direct snap to Brady. Stands in the pocket, fires it to the right, down the right sideline, and caught at the 20-15-10-5. Touchdown, Patriots. Tom Brady Randy Moss, and they each have set NFL records on the go-ahead touchdown. 65-yard bomb, Brady to Moss for Tom Brady. Touchdown pass number 50, an NFL record. For Randy Moss, touchdown reception number 23, an NFL record. One play, bang, bang, they both set NFL records, and the Patriots take the lead with 11:06 to go in the game.
They took the lead. They didn't give it back in that one. They won the game on that touchdown.
Came right back to the same play.
They trailed by 12 points in that game.
I'll never forget this. So I was watching a game with a lot of Patriots front office people at that time. There was a party because it was an away game with the Giants, so I went to this friend's house, and there was, like, devastation. Like, the undefeated was in jeopardy. Like, oh, I can't lose this game. And then the way they came back there and how undefeated was still in play, and you know how that goes. You know, there was a lot of marketing opportunities with the undefeated season here.
Matt Castle was on the Currents podcast, the Patriots Talk podcast.
Remember
he
how
said going into that game?
Were?
He was planning on playing in that game. And after like a few minutes of the game, I don't know how long he said, but some point in the first quarter, they were getting beat up and the game, they knew the game was going the wrong direction. It was going to be a rough game. And Brady just said, came back to the sideline and said, I'm not coming out of this effing game. Randy Moss came over and said, I'm not coming out of this effing game. And they all said, no, we're playing.
That's great.
We're playing.
That is great.
So I guess there was a point in the game that they might have actually rested those guys.
They were matched because they were going to match the Giants. Remember? The Giants had to play wild card weekend. Giants knew they were playing wild card weekend, so there was talk of, let's rest all our guys and get ready for next week. And I said, F it. Let's go play these guys. And that sort of hardened the Giants. They, you know, sharpened your pencil.
Play the next one on our list, if you could, Jim. It was just about, I don't know, what, about a month after that? About a month later, Brady connecting with Moss once again, and we thought this was going to be for perfection.
Brady pointing at the middle linebacker. Third and goal at the Giants 6. Direct snap to Brady. Looks, fires, touchdown! A 6-yard touchdown pass to Randy Moss with 2:42 to go, and the Patriots regain the lead.
Do we want to keep going, or do we want to stop there?
I will stop there.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't think we're allowed.
No, there's a couple good regular season games after.
Are we allowed to stop? I don't think we can stop. What's
the history? There's history was made.
You got to explain the history.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, all right, we'll go to headlines. And
yeah, let's just go throw up and then we'll come back and replay it.
Yeah, we've got more highlights to get to, though. Giants and Patriots reliving some of the memorable moments between these two
Excuse
teams.
Me.
I don't know if there's a shot of it being memorable tonight at Gillette. We'll try and discuss that with you, though. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls next as well. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Direct snap to Manny. Back to throw. The rush. Gonna be hit. Gonna be sacked.
No.
No, he got out of it. Now he fires downfield. And it is caught. Caught at the 24-yard line. How in the world did he do that?
Ah, that hurts.
Bravo, though, on the call. The great late Gil Santos, Gino Cappelletti. Obviously there in the booth. Great call. He sacked. No! How did he get out of it?
Gotta be hit. Gotta be sacked.
No.
No, he got out of it. Now he fires downfield. And it is caught. Caught.
Do you know how hard this was? We were sequestered underneath, because I was doing post-game at the time. Gil and Gino were up in the booth. I had nothing to do with radio.
He was in the grass, goddammit. He was working
for Channel 4, and they had everybody with, you know, the green little green vest you got to wear when you go down on the field for post-game. I think, okay, Patriots take the lead, 242 up, undefeated season. We're going down to post-game. And you're hearing the crowd go nuts, and all you can see is a little tube monitor up in a corner, back behind this field turf, little place where they take care of the field. Out there in Arizona, you're thinking, I can't see anything. Oh, my God, he caught it. Where are they? Holy crap, they're in a red area. And then you just remember it unfolding here in the crowd, and like, holy crap, they lost. And nobody, remember how long the locker room, I don't know if you remember this, but the locker room was closed for so long after that game. And we just stood there and stared at the camera. Like, we had nothing to say. And, of course, nobody wanted to come out and talk. Got no guests. Even after you lose, you know, you grab a guy or two, get him on. It was a good year, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Doors were locked for like 20 minutes after that game. Never forget that. That was devastating. Yeah. It's probably the worst loss, right? That's number one. Not that there's anyone that's closer to that one. I mean, Eagles was pretty bad. That's fresh.
I don't think so.
That's
Eagles was a back and forth.
Yeah.
I mean, that one. That old seven game was actually bad.
It was actually a boring game.
It was not a great game.
It was not a great game. And I remember how fast that first quarter went, because didn't Ben Jarvis Greenhouse get a lot of rushing yards early?
The one that I hate more than 07 is 06, losing in Indianapolis. That one still bothers me. I don't know why, but that one irritates me more than 07. I look at 07 and say, well, the Giants, to their credit, I mean, you don't just compete against a team like the Patriots had in 07 by mistake or by accident. Yeah. And they did it twice. They competed with them in week 17, and they beat them in the Super Bowl. And that doesn't happen by accident. That's not fluky. That's not luck. You have to be good enough to be in those games, and they were. The Patriots got out to that lead in Indianapolis and should not have given it back, and they did. And that drove me crazy. Still does. And was it Rex Grossman? Rex Grossman and the Bears were waiting in the Super Bowl?
That was 06, man. You had to win. That'd have been your easiest Super Bowl win. Man, oh man. How about that?
That's that.
Because you remember, like, the Colts played like crap that game, too.
And you mentioned,
like, they ran the ball.
You mentioned Eric Alexander already on this show today.
Yeah.
Eric Alexander in pass coverage should haunt all of us in New England. All of us in that Indianapolis game.
Who was 44 for the Colts? I even forget his name already.
Dallas Clark.
Dallas Clark. Thanks, Sponge. Thanks, Sports Sponge.
Guy never forgets a name.
Dallas Clark.
Unbelievable.
Dallas Clark, 44, 6'3", 242 pounds, fourth year that year.
That was going to be my first Super Bowl. That was going to be the first time I got to go for Radio Row and everything. Well, so I had my plane flight booked at halftime.
Me and another co-host booked all of our flights at halftime.
How'd that work out?
We lost everything. Now you got your money back, but
they were refundable tickets.
It was Southwest.
No, a lot of people booked tickets at halftime of that game at 21-3.
Up 18.
A lot of people booked their flights at halftime.
That Shaughnessy booked his flight.
When you Google that Super Bowl, when you said Rex Grossman waiting for you, like any other Super Bowl, automatic images pop up of both teams. This one, it's just the Colts. That's like that. There's no other like real mention. You have to really search around, like, who'd they play? What's going on?
No, Rex Grossman played in the Super Bowl, if you can believe that. And the Patriots could have been there. They could have been there. But instead, they blew a lead. Yeah. 617-779-0985. Pete in Ohio has been hanging on. What's up, Pete?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
What's up, Pete?
Hey, that Giants game way back with Parcells in 96, that was a Saturday game. I remember that game. I still got the VHS. It's all grainy. I watch that every once in a while. Hey, as far as the Cincinnati connection there between A.J. Green and Eifert, you got to pick which one is smarter, right? So which one do you guys think is the smarter of the two? They're both talented. I lose you?
Wait, what's the question? Who's better?
Yeah, I was on my phone.
I don't understand your pick of what?
Well, which one is the smarter football player? Because you know Belichick likes brains. He'll pick brains.
So Eifert or Green? Eifert or Green?
Yep.
It's not comparable.
Well, which one is it?
You know what I would go with? You know who I would go with? I would go with Eifert if you're going brains because he was recruited by Charlie Weiss.
I have no idea.
He was taught the offense. Charlie ran the same offense at Notre Dame.
All I know is I would.
So I would think the ability to come in and pick up the offense. But it's tough because one's a tight end, one's a receiver, and sometimes the smartest guy may become the best player because it's just sheer athletic ability, and A.J. Green has that. He runs a 4.4, and he's 6'5", and he can jump. Sometimes you don't have to be too smart to play a game, you know? It might be even.
I just go based on it's going to be easier as a tight end to pick things up than a receiver is.
What I do like and what we looked at yesterday was the size of Tyler Eifert. Guy's 6'6", 260 pounds. That is night and day different than what you have right now at the tight end position. As I said, your two tight ends currently look like fullbacks. That's all.
Andrew and Milton. Andrew.
Hey, guys. So I'm with you on A.J. Green. I don't want him. He's soft. And the whole wanting to stay in Cincinnati thing, I don't like that.
I don't want to tag him as soft. Real quick, I mean, that's a bad tag to get as a player. But, I mean, I've caught a bunch of games against him, and sometimes he's in and he's out. He's sort of a floater, if you know what I mean. I don't want to say – I think Demaryius Thomas was soft.
Okay. All right. Okay? That's fair. But what I wanted to get to is
– I think A.J.'s a front runner. That's all.
All right. All right. Well, that's fair. But anyway, down in Tampa Bay, I don't know if it's Arians' offense or if it's just Winston just stinks, but O.J. Howard, he's MIA down there. I don't know what's going on. Why don't they call down and see what's going on with him? I know they got like 3 third-round picks this year. They need a tight end. Went to Alabama, Saban connection. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with O.J. Howard.
I don't know. That one just came out of nowhere right there. Wham.
I got an email about O.J. Howard today, too.
Did you?
Yeah. Yep. Apparently, this is from Tyler, who said, O.J. Howard's on the outs down in Tampa, and the Pats desperately need tight end help. The Bucs also have Braid, so I could see them being interested in gaining draft capital in return for a tight end they don't want.
Aqib Talib.
He says, could be LeGarrette Tim Blunt. Wright. Could be Tim Wright 2.0.
Tim Wright helped you go to a Super Bowl and win it, even though he didn't play in that Super Bowl.
He said Howard is used to the tough coaching method that Bill uses since he played at Alabama under Saban and is a decent all-around tight end. Pats are projected to have 3 third-rounders, 2 fourth-rounders, 3 sixth-rounders, maybe a fourth or a sixth for him. Wouldn't be bad. Let me know what you think. Thanks. That's from Tyler. O.J. Howard. Let the rumors begin. I don't know. I don't know what his situation is with...
I mean, but they have a track record and a good relationship, meaning the two organizations as far as tradability. LeGarrette Blunt, you mentioned Tim Wright.
Yes.
Aqib Talib. You got Revis from down there. Yeah. snagged their players before.
Let's take a look.
Give me a peek-see here.
Put his name in there. That's a call and an email today on O.J. Howard.
Peek-a-boo.
Let that rumor begin. O.J. Howard to the Patriots.
Felger liked this. He likes all rumors. It doesn't matter who says it.
Yeah, but he's young, cheap, and athletic. Yeah, that'd be great.
He's 24.
It almost seems like it's too good to give up if you're Tampa Bay.
He'll turn 25 in November.
Yeah, why would an offensive coach like Bruce Arians, with a quarterback that he's finally got playing and heading in the right direction, want to give up a good talent like that?
Yeah.
Depends what he gets back on the other side.
Well, you got to give up something to get something.
Thank you. A lot of people here, like, they tend to forget that. You want a decent piece, you better be ready to give up a decent piece and probably a safety or two that plays well.
Yeah.
And plays a lot. Maybe a good special teams guy. Who knows?
Yep. We'll keep an eye on that. Maybe O.J. Howard is on the block. We'll talk to Dan Shaughnessy. He will join us in studio. Let the rumors begin. O.J. Howard. Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, will join us in studio coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us in studio. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Beetle. Hi,
how you doing?
I'm good. I'm scratching my head. Is there a
significance? I'm five times more confused than you.
Elton John, Philadelphia.
One hit wonder?
Well, yeah, Elton John had one. He's one hit wonder. I mean, there's that element.
I mean, this song's about Billie Jean King. I just don't see how any of this ties into today. And
I can tell you how.
What are you doing, Louth?
It's about Philadelphia.
What about him?
It's about where Al Horford went.
Oh.
That's why.
Okay.
We want to talk about Al Horford.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah. That's a big loss.
What do you mean, what?
Oh.
Well, yeah. Just, yeah.
That, look at Zoe. Zoe is completely, completely stunned by this development. Jim, did you give him any notes on the show today?
He's got a rundown, and it was in our rundown, notes last night, but anything non-football, he just skips right over.
Slack threads. I mean, look at all the information that you're providing.
Unless it's about
with
how to watch a Yankees game on the
honestly,
MLB Network, then
like
it goes right
by. All the notes that you're given, all the rundowns you're given, I mean, you're given
I got to talk to soccer coach today.
Did you just throw the roadmap to the show in the garbage?
I don't need a roadmap. I know where I'm driving this bus.
Crumbled it up and threw it in the garbage.
All right, you're driving the bus. What do you got to say about Horford's comments?
Go. What did Al Horford say? Do you know?
I totally disagree with him.
What did he say?
What he said.
You have no idea what he said.
I have no idea what he said. Honest to God.
All right, well, let me inform you. I'm sure there are other people that are unaware of what Al Horford said. He opened up to the Boston Herald yesterday about leaving the Celtics. And was asked if things would be different if he knew that Kemba Walker was coming to the Celtics. Do you know what he said?
Good question.
He said, I don't want to get caught up in the past. But yeah, knowing Walker was headed to Boston, it would have been totally different. That's what he said. He had the audacity to say.
That's bullcrap.
That had he known.
Walker couldn't have came if he didn't opt out. Sorry. That doesn't work.
Had he known Kemba Walker was coming to the Celtics, that things would have been different for him.
Wrong.
That's what he claims in this story.
Liar.
He really said that. I do not believe him. I think he is trying to make nice with the fans of the Boston Celtics.
Bingo. Yeah.
And is trying to soften the blow for when he returns with the 76ers. And is trying to get a few less boos from the crowd when he shows up here, because that is inevitable. Now he's part of a rival team and an enemy, and that's what's going to happen. That's what I think he's doing.
I don't take this
for one
second.
And I don't buy it for one second.
Not once. Especially if you're GM, who knows everything about this team at Danny Ainge and loves everything about this player because he does all the little things right, everything that Al brings to the table, wouldn't talk to him prior to opting out and say, hey, Al, just so you know, Kyrie's not coming back. That's not happening. But we're in on this guy, that guy. And by the way, Kemba Walker wants to come here.
Yeah.
But we can't do it because you need to opt out to do it. But let's get something done backdoor-wise. That's such bull.
Is that a Steve Bopet interview?
Yeah.
He's a very savvy NBA guy. I would expect Steve to push back a little bit on that answer to what So just said.
Like, seriously?
Really, Al?
Well, I mean,
you know what, Al? Just opt out and go. Hey, thanks for your time here. We're gonna go get some big Turkish kid, okay? Thanks a lot.
Well, he said, you know, when he asked him, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm here looking for that championship, is what he said. Yeah. Looking for that championship.
We knew that.
And that we knew. And he said, after last year ended, we were all disappointed with how everything went. I took some steps back, looking at what direction the franchise was heading and what was going on. And he said, we all kind of felt that Kyrie was going to leave. It was like, maybe he'll stay. But then it was like, nah, he's probably going to leave just based on how everything was. And then I'm looking at my career and myself and the years I have left. There were certain things that we wanted to accomplish as a team and things we needed to make happen. We got all those pieces last year, but it didn't happen for us. And moving forward, I didn't know if it was going to be a 2-year wait or whatever it was going to be. And it was that and the financial reasons. When we started with the team trying to come up with things and we couldn't agree on certain numbers, that's when I decided, you know what? I'm going to have to open my free agency. I believe not only that I am worth a certain amount of money, but I also want to be in a position that I have a really good opportunity to win now. So that's the story.
Yes, that's,
he went so there for that's Joel it. Embiid.
So he went there, I'd accept that
He
more.
Went there for a better team, which he's on, and he went there for the money. He got a lot more money. He got a team that's ready to win right now.
He didn't sign with the Sixers until July 10th.
Thank you.
Okay, but that deal had been tampered, and that was agreed upon way before Hardy, and we all know that.
It was agreed to in like March.
Walker signed with the Celtics on July 6th.
Okay, but this is
four days before he signed the paperwork with Philadelphia.
But this is where we all disagree on this, because this is why it's not possible. Because the date that the paperwork is signed doesn't matter. Once they knew he was gone, they turn, go in a different direction, make the Baines trade, try and open up the space to get Kemba Walker. You can't just do that.
This like Horford
the,
stuff.
The right. money's got to work.
The two things aren't in a vacuum. I get it.
Do you know what would have had to have happened? They would have had to have swung a three-team trade, sign-and-trade deal, to try and get both Horford and Kemba Walker to work. And I don't know that the Celtics, say Horford had just said, guys, when they were having that conversation, Hardy, where if Horford and the Celtics were talking, and Horford found the numbers the Celtics were putting on the table agreeable as opposed to what he says in this story, and he signs, the Celtics are not going after Kemba Walker. They're far more likely to turn around and say, let's keep Terry Rozier. And they keep Terry Rozier and they go on and they do their thing.
Right.
They went and got Kemba Walker and had the ability to do it far more easily because Al Horford left.
And this is, I remember having this conversation at the time where it just seems silly to me that the Celtics would have this embarrassment of riches. How could we possibly have both Al Horford and Kemba Walker on the same team? Meanwhile, other teams managed to put together rosters that include, you know, for Golden State for a while between Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, and you've got Draymond Green, and now you've got Durant and Kyrie Irving playing with the Nets. But there's no way, the way their roster is currently constituted, that they could have room for both illuminaries such as Kemba Walker and Al Horford. If they just they didn't have the money, it's impossible.
I remember calling you.
That's not a great spot to be in. When other teams have multiple superstars on their team, and you were in a position where you couldn't have both Kemba Walker and Al Horford on the same team. That's not a good spot to be in today's NBA.
Guys. They're paying guys. I mean, the money is what it is. I mean, it's the reality. You can look at the numbers they're paying what to.
I understand.
I remember you.
Let me put it this way. From now, the Celtics' perspective, who would you rather have, Kemba Walker going forward or Al Horford?
I haven't seen Kemba Walker play one game.
The answer is Kemba Walker. Yeah. The Celtics would rather have Kemba Walker than Al Horford.
They have no point guard. They need Kemba Walker.
Now, are they going to suffer in some ways because they don't have Al Horford? Of course they are. They're going to miss some of the presence of Al Horford on the interior. There is no doubt about it. In the short term, they're going to suffer without him.
Hey, but long term, I just went through years.
Like, what's Al Horford look like 2 or 3 years from now?
I just went through years of being told that I didn't understand the greatness of Al Horford. So I'm not ready to do a heel turn now and say, yeah, it's a good thing he's gone because everyone else says so. I'm not doing that.
You know, I'm not one of those guys. I'm a big Al Horford or Horford fan. I've been defending him for years. I love Al Horford.
But you can say right now the team is better off with him gone and having Kemba Walker there instead?
I'm saying that going forward in the future, you're going to wish 2 or 3 years from now that if you had kept Al Horford, that you would much rather have Kemba Walker as a player on your roster because there's far more value in that than having an old, broken-down Al Horford.
Well, it's built to win now versus built to win later.
Yes, and the Celtics, I think, are not built to win right now, and the 76ers are. So the 76ers have the right guy, and the Celtics have the right guy. It's the right move for both teams. He's
Sixers,
in the right
Sixers
spot.
Look talented. That team picture, my God.
He made the right decision for him. Al Horford made the right call.
Oh, for him, sure.
He absolutely made the right call for his career and for his family. I can't fault the guy for this. No issue with him. Good for him. He made the right call. He's going to have a lot more money, and he's in a better situation for himself in his career. I just have no way to look at this quote and believe that. Oh, I would have stayed. Come on. That wouldn't have happened that way. Why? Why would you have stayed? You would have taken less money.
He wants to be liked.
The money would have been less, too. They would not have had the same amount of money that Philadelphia gave you.
It's just lip service so people like him.
Lip service. That's all that garbage. Yeah, that's all not truth.
But
I don't like that crap.
But you are right. He's done himself a favor here. He's got a chance to be in the conference finals, a good chance. They're a funny team. I can't wait to see them because the Celtics, for one reason or another, always beat them, even though they have better players. And we'll find out what happens now with this. And last but not least, Beetle, the Horford presence. Don't forget, Morris is gone. Baines is gone. Under the basket, their defense.
Oh, it's going to be bad. It's going to be atrocious.
It's starting to occur to you as you see what's there. And I know the conference is down overall, but I know everybody likes them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.